It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
What's going on, everybody? Curtis Wilkerson with HogSports.com coming to you from outside T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas following a not-so-sweet 16 loss for the Razorbacks to the UConn Huskies, 88-65. The final in this one was not pretty. And to be quite honest with you, I hate doing these stand-ups after games like this, especially at the end of the season. It's not a lot of fun. But it has to be done, right? It almost feels like giving a eulogy on a season and a team that you've spent a lot of time covering and invested into. And I can only imagine what the guys in that locker room feel like who've been going to war since the summer, preparing for this year, going through the obstacles they've gone through, and to get to this point has been really impressive. But unless you're the last team standing, only one team that comes to this tournament ends with a victory. Unless you're that team, it never ends the way you want it to. And those losses are tough. They sting. I feel for Mus, and I feel for those guys. I've got to admit, it's been 3 years in a row now that a season has ended for the Razorbacks, and I felt the same way. I felt like they ran into a buzzsaw. I felt that way against Baylor 2 years ago in Indianapolis. I felt that way against Duke last season. Even though they lost the next game against North Carolina in the Final Four, I thought that they were playing like the best team in the country, and this UConn team tonight looked incredible. So credit where it's due. They dominated on both sides of the ball in this one. I would be surprised if they go down on Saturday. Now that I said that, they probably will, but they certainly looked the part of a contender. They were absolutely the better team in this game tonight. You know, UConn took control midway through the first half with a 14-0 run. They were up, I think, 46-29. It was a 17-point game at halftime. Arkansas didn't get any closer than that. They trailed by as many as 29 points in this game, and boy, they just never could really get anything going. UConn dominated the paint. You know, Sanogo and Klingon, that two-man duo in the post is really, really tough for those guys. Arkansas didn't really have an answer in there. They struggled on the glass, even though they wound up getting 16 offensive rebounds. I didn't realize that in the moment, but they did, so maybe some good stuff there. You know, UConn hit 9 of 20 three-pointers. We talked in the preview about if Arkansas is not going to knock down a bunch of threes, they certainly can't give up a bunch. To give up 9 is tough, and they kind of came in some flurries. You know, Arkansas would hit some mini runs here and there, but then they'd hit back-to-back threes or maybe three in a row and just kind of put an end to that. Jordan Hawkins, I think, is an incredible, incredible player. I thought he was the best player on the floor for UConn on this particular night. You know, the Huskies seemed a little bit stronger and more physical. Maybe that needs to be more of an emphasis for Arkansas moving forward. The weight room, because they're so long and so athletic, but that toughness, the physicality of the Huskies, I thought it really bothered the Razorbacks in terms of their finishing in the paint, some things on the glass, and then their interior defense was a bit of a struggle as well tonight. Arkansas shot a season low 31.7%. From the field in this game. That's not going to get it done. Now, they did get to the free throw line. That was one of the keys for the Razorbacks. Got there 27 times. They knocked down 20 free throws. So that's pretty good. But when you're only making 30% of your shots, I mean, that's just a tough thing to overcome. Only 10 turnovers, but Arkansas was never really able to get into a flow or a rhythm with things offensively. You know, three guys in double figures. I thought Anthony Black and Ricky Council, I thought they looked the part. I thought they were up for the challenge for the most part. Just physically, athletically, size-wise, I think AB finished with 20. Ricky had 17. They weren't super efficient, but they were guys that could get their shots off. They could make plays. Other than that, you know, Arkansas looked a little bit overmatched, you know, just kind of going down the line. You know, Nick finished with 11 points. He had some struggles, though, defensively. It was great to see him snap out of the scoring slump. He hit a couple big threes, got downhill, got an and one, but really struggled with some things on the defensive end. you know, allowing some threes there, and maybe he was a guy that was getting hit on some screens, and boy, when UConn screens you, they screen you now. So I got to give them credit for that. You know, looking at the other guys down the line, you know, Devo was just absolutely phenomenal, just an iconic performance against Kansas, only 1 of 10 in this game. He was in foul trouble, 2 fouls in 2 minutes, and I think that impacted his performance. That's tough. You know, Jordan Walsh has been such an X factor, only 1 of 5 from the field. I don't think he had a rebound, maybe one rebound in this game. So UConn kind of had his number. You know, it was tough, and the bigs really struggled. You know, that between the twins, you didn't get a single rebound. Kamani was held scoreless, and he battled in there, and he played with toughness and physicality in his last game as a Razorback. He fouled out with about 7 minutes remaining, but he was a little bit overmatched in this one inside. So
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
You know, just kind of a clunker on both ends of the floor. There's no other way to put it when you lose by 23 in the NCAA tournament with some of the things that happened. Boy, I wish I could say some more positives about this game in particular, but it's tough because Arkansas really struggled. I think, you know, when you get in this situation, you really just have to kind of look at the season as a whole. And listen, yeah, I don't know that the Sweet 16 was the expectation for this team. It was obviously a little higher. People were hyped up about the Razorbacks coming into the year. But given everything they went through, so many obstacles, we've talked about it, but the injuries, the flux with the roster, you know, so many ups and downs and twists and turns. It's been a roller coaster ride, you know, from start to finish. But for Arkansas to really kind of, you know, bounce back from some struggles to end the regular season, they got out of the SEC tournament, the vibes were down. You didn't know what to expect, if anything, from this team. They're an 8 seed, but I thought that they really, really battled and turned some things around, figured some things out, and to get to the second weekend, a third straight Sweet 16, that's tremendous, man, and you got to hold your head up about that if you're the coaching staff, if you're a fan, whatever, because not many teams do that, and Arkansas hasn't done it very often, so don't lose sight of that, because this was an ugly game. Try to remember the full accomplishments, the full body of work, if you will, because it was absolutely a successful season for Arkansas, even though it didn't end maybe the way that we wanted it to. And so now, you know, you just got to kind of flip the page quickly, because that's what college basketball is all about at this point, you know. Who stays, who goes for the Razorbacks, because Kamani Johnson's the only guy that exhausted his eligibility. You know, you assume that probably Nick Smith, Anthony Black, those guys go to the draft, although, hey, you know, one of my colleagues assumed that in an interview with Nick the other day, and he said, well, how do you know I'm going to the draft? But you would think that would be the case whenever a formal announcement comes. Maybe we'll be surprised. That would be a very non-Arkansas thing to happen, but we would take it, right? We would take that. But, you know, some other guys to keep an eye on, and we asked a few of them in the locker room after the game. Some of them had, you know, really no comment. Ricky Council didn't really want to comment on it. I don't blame him in the aftermath. You hate having to ask those questions. It's part of our job. But I don't blame them if they don't want to answer 15 minutes after the season ends. I get it. But Ricky Council didn't really have a comment about it. So obviously he's got some things to think through and work out. He's appearing on a lot of mock drafts. He could come back for his senior season. We'll see what he does. You know, Makai Mitchell, the twins, you know, those are two guys who are seniors. They're older guys who might want to start their professional career, but they could come back, you know. They do have another year of college eligibility. Same thing with Makai. He wasn't really ready to go there yet after the game. Again, don't blame him for that. Jordan Walsh, I think, is one to really keep an eye on. We asked him about it, and he seemed a little more open. He was talking about improving, you know, making himself a better player. He's talked to the coaches about the things he needs to work on. He was talking like a guy that could be interested in returning. Again, no formal announcements are made But we'll see. I think maybe at least it's on the table and something that he's strongly considering. If Arkansas is able to pull that off, I think that would be a huge start for him. He might be, Eric Musselman's biggest recruit of the offseason outside of I think, Devo Davis. Who knows what Devo's going to do? He's been around for a long time. Three full seasons, Sweet 16s, two Elite Eights. He's accomplished a lot. Obviously, he could come back. Does he look to start a new chapter and maybe start his professional career? I don't know if he's a draft pick or not, but there's a lot of ways to make money playing basketball. Or does he come back? Because if he does, man, you've got that senior leader, that veteran, gritty experience, proven in March. That is a huge foundation block if you can get him to come back. So several guys to keep an eye on there. Obviously, the other freshmen, Barry, Joseph, Darian, they all got to play in this game, get a little bit of taste of the NCAA tournament, even though it was kind of in a blowout there, but they got in, got their feet wet. Maybe that's a motivating situation for them. We'll see how many of those guys come back. But I got a feeling that Eric Musselman would like to have a little more continuity going into next season so he's not starting from scratch. Trevin Brazil is another one that I forgot about. Obviously, he hasn't been playing with that injury, but you start talking about some of these guys and you think if they could just get a few of them to stay, they could really have a solid ground to work off and to build off with this roster because transfer portal season. Listen, they've already been on it. Just because they were still playing doesn't mean they haven't been on the transfers. Every time you look up, they've contacted somebody new. They're doing Zooms with kids out here in Vegas. They had somebody on campus, the Cam Hunter kid from UCA, on Monday before they left for the Sweet 16. So they've been recruiting the portal hard. Every season, Arkansas has made a pretty quick splash once the year ended in the transfer portal. 2 years ago, it was Audis Toney. It was like right after the season ended. Last year, it was Trevin Brazil, kind of came out of nowhere. That was just a couple days after the end of the season. So is Arkansas going to make another splash? Is the Must Bus going to go portaling right away here in the next few days? It would not surprise me one bit, but that they're going to make several additions. For Arkansas, listen, it's all about, right now, regroup. Then you rebuild, and then you return to something like this. And I think that's where Arkansas is at right now. They don't rebuild, they reload. You regroup, you reload, and you return. I think this is what you have to expect from Arkansas now. NCAA tournament appearances, battling for second weekend, Sweet 16s, and then at some point, they're going to get over that hump and maybe get back to where we all want to be. And I'm not even going to say the word because I don't want to jinx it, but you got to think when you got a guy like Eric Musselman at the helm, so competitive, so relentless as a recruiter, as a coach, he's hungry, he wants to get there. Arkansas fans want to get there. Didn't happen this season, came up a little bit short, but keep the faith. They'll get back there at some point. Been an absolute pleasure, an absolute blast covering the team. I appreciate everybody, as always, for following along. You guys are the reason that I've done this as long as I have. It's just been an awesome experience, going everywhere. I think back to Texas at the beginning of the year, drove down there for that exhibition game and covered that. The trip to Baylor, the trip out to Des Moines last week and then being here in Vegas for this. It's just been an absolutely incredible experience, and I appreciate you guys being able to share along in that journey with me. It's been Curtis Wilkerson with HogSports.com. Arkansas falls in the Sweet 16, but it has been a tremendous season. So take a little bit of pride in that, Razorback fans. We'll catch you next time.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.